Matthew chapter 5, and Jesus is talking, and he challenges, it's his first sermon, we call it the Sermon on the Mount, and he talks about the Beatitudes, and or we call it the Beatitudes, and he's challenging people to really come into a place where a relationship with God must be seen, must become visible, and that visibility of light is really depicted here in this Beatitudes. Light, you can't have glory without light. If you look at a stage and they say, oh, the actor appeared in full glory, it's in full lights where their ability, their gifting was just in the spotlight, and that glory was manifested by the spotlight or the light on them. And we are called to glory. In this time of darkness, we need to become these shining lights. And we are called to a place of glory. And that glory is not our own light. Any light that you shine that's your own light comes from a place of idolatry. You need to reflect the light that God gives. And the best way to reflect that light is by taking in the Word of God. Taking in His Word that you eat into your life. You break it. You love God's Word. You study it. You make it part of your disciplined life. And the reason why, one of the main reasons why Christians are so dark in a dark world is because they have never learned the ability to take God's Word. I've no problem with devotionals and these, you know, faith for daily living and daily bread and these short encouragements. But if that is your spiritual nutrition, if that is all you are living on, then you're going to stay a nepios son, a position where you need your nappies changed, an infant position, because you can never carry the glory of God in an immature state. And the Word of God has been sent to us. It's been sent to heal our spirits, to heal our souls, and to transform our lives. And you need to take in this Word of God. The attitude towards God's Word determines your altitude in the Spirit. How high and how you rise in spiritual matters is determined by your attitude towards God's Word. If you don't have a good attitude towards God's Word, and if you are listening to this message and the last meal you had from God's Word was last Sunday, then your diet, you're starving. You cannot live by these diets. A pastor preaching to you is the smallest part of the diet you can get. It basically, I call it life support. It just helps your spiritual heart to tick along. You need to dig into God's Word. You need to find your place where you are taking in God's Word. And this time that we are living in, and the next few years, is going to require a maturity of the church that has never been needed before. We're going to need a mature Christian to rise up. We're going to need to be strong in the Lord. The storms that this world, if you think COVID-19 is a severe storm, I need to remind you, if you read biblical prophecy, the storms are going to get worse. But the storms for the church, for those who have eaten the right diet, who are manifesting the glory of God in the earth, these storms do not affect you. They do not impact your life. They do not drive you to fear. And how are you going to stand in the midst of the storm is by building on the foundation. Jesus paints a beautiful picture. He says, the house that is built on sand will crumble, but the house that is built on the rock will stand. So you need to build on the rock, and Jesus is the rock. He is the rock of our salvation. We need to build on it. So I encourage you today that you would take God's word, that you would study His word, that you would ask the Lord to give you a hunger for His word, and then invite the Holy Spirit to teach you, because He is a far better teacher than what I am of God's word. Than any teacher of God's word, the Holy Spirit is the after teacher. He is the minister of God's word who truly breaks it down even while you are sleeping, because your spirit man never sleeps. So it can engage that word that you've received, and you can be built up. If you wake up depressed, if you wake up sad, if you wake up overcome or in anxiety, let me give you one cure for that. It's to spend time before you go to sleep in God's word, and then invite the Holy Spirit to break that word, to help you to understand that word, and to bring the revelation of that word into your spirit. Because His Spirit is Holy Spirit, and you are spirit. And He will break that word down. And I promise you, one of the things you will wake up is you will wake up rejoicing. You will wake up singing the songs of Zion. You will wake up with joy. There is a cure for depression, and it's Jesus. His name is still powerful. When you mention Jesus to your depression, it has to succumb. But when you mention depression to Jesus, all you're doing is complaining about your state. But you need to take your physical state before the Lord, and you need to speak to your state on behalf of the Lord. Bring the word into it. And Romans 8, my message is really on how we need to behave in this time. If I want to take the words that are coming at us through apostolic doctrine, that's coming at us through prophetic utterances, that to take this word and to make it practical in our lives. So I'm listening at this moment in the season, and how do I take this word and how do I apply it to my life? Through the various streams that speak into our lives as a church, how do I take that word and how do I apply it? And one of the clear ways for me is you need to take in the word and you need to live it out. You need to display and you need to accurately represent the word and the glory of God in this time. What's needed for this level of darkness is glory. And glory is a reflection of light, is a reflection of God in this world, where you as a son of God reflect the perfect nature of God in this world. And we know that one of those ways is through love. If there's ever a way that we demonstrate God in this world, is through love. And I want to ask, if you look around the world today, how did we become so unloving? You know, the Bible speaks about it uses one English word, love, for four different Greek words. And the various forms of love is, there's the filial love, or what we call the friendship form of love. There's the eros love mentioned in the Bible, which is the more erotic love, the more sensual type of love. And then there is the agape love, which is often referred to the love of God, which is the selfless love, where, the filial love, you will give a plate of food to a friend, but the agape love, you will actually give your heart for a friend. You'll give your organs for their life so that they can live and you don't mind dying for them. So the Bible speaks about agape love, and that's the love that God has for us. And I think we as human beings, we will never in this state reach that level of love. The drive for self-preservation is so strong. But this agape love is the love that God has for us, where He gives Himself for us, where Jesus was prepared to die. That's the level of love that Jesus had for us. He agapes us. He loves us to the point where He will give His own life because He loves you so much. And our response is really like Peter's, where we say, no, but we do love you. We love you with a friendship love. And Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? And He asks us today, do you love me? And our answer must be displayed in our behavior, in our attitude, in our beatitudes. It must be displayed. The world in this darkness, I believe the darkness in this world has come because people are so unloving. The amount of hate in the world, the amount of hardness of heart towards one another, it's so severe and so wicked. How did we get to this state? And it's because of greed, because of fear. And you cannot have fear and love live in the same house. If fear lives in your house, love does not live there. And we live in a country where, and this is Women's Month, and gender violence, the violence against women are so severe that every few minutes there's a woman killed in our country. And she's killed by a man. She's often killed by somebody she knows, or a lover, or somebody that's been very close to her. How did we become so unloving, so dark in this world? And it's because we have lost our way. We have lost God. We have abandoned Him. We have left Him out of our families. We have made Him good for church, but not good for our lives. We have made Him good for Sunday, but not good for a Monday. And God wants to fill every part of your and my life. And when He comes in and when we let Him in, we can have all the various government programs to stop gender violence. And it's wicked. It's wicked. But unless we allow God back in, the love of God into our schools, into our homes, there will still be this darkness and there will still be this violence. If you are living in a home where fear, you're so afraid of saying anything, you're so afraid of what could happen, you don't love. You might be needing that home, you might be needing that relationship with your spouse, but where fear has become a resident, love has been excommunicated from that home. It has exited. So whenever fear enters, love exits. And the way you get fear to leave, it's not by dealing with the fear, it's by inviting love back. It's by asking love to come back. And how do you get love back? It's by inviting God. God is love. 1 John 4 says, God is love. How did we become so unloving? The fourth type of love is agapeo love. And agapeo love is a social love. It's an order, a social order where you love people because of a social order. You behave loving towards them because you respect, and there's a social type of love, and it's a friendliness, a social order, a community that holds the community together. It's an agapeo love, and that's what we are trying to do in our community where we're based in Cape Town. We bring an agapeo love. It's the love of God for our community, for our society, and we love them. Unfortunately, we have people in the community who are unloving. And last night, we again had a break-in. We had people bend over the fence to break in. I think they're just frustrated that there's no church, so they want to come to church at 4 a.m. in the morning. But fortunately, we have very good alarm systems and networks and a good armed response that can deal with it. How do we become so unloving? I want to encourage us today to let love back in. On this Women's Month, we can have all the awareness programs. And I don't want to challenge what they are doing with the awareness programs. But I do want to mention that some of the media is going a little bit overboard. They're showing the violence. They're showing the violence against women. And when you show violence and you show this continuous violence, what happens? People become desensitized towards violence. And that's what media do. They desensitize you towards certain practices, certain attitudes, certain belief systems, that you become so desensitized, it becomes normalized. And violence, unfortunately, in South Africa has become normalized. Violence against women and against children. Just this week, we had a father stab a few months old, his own child to death. How do we become so unloving in this country? And we see it on the news, and what really gets to me is that you will have this one scene on the news where a father has just murdered his child, and the very next clip is the clip about sport and about a victory of some team or some new initiative that they're going to start. And all we've done is we just switched our brain to become desensitized to one of the most hideous crimes in society. It's a crime against women and a crime against helpless children. And I want to speak today that we portray and hold these things up. And I want to challenge you is to hold up love, because when you hold up an accurate representation of love, that darkness needs to break. That darkness needs to go. So we need to, as a church of Jesus Christ, I encourage you to, Jesus says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. You need to become selfless in your love. Jesus became selfless. He gave his life. When last did you love somebody like that? We need to become loving. I'm going to speak over the next few weeks about the Beatitudes and how, you can see, I'm doing an introduction and I'm done. The Beatitudes are so powerful. I'm going to speak about how the Beatitudes, what Jesus is saying and how we unpack it. So over the next few weeks, if you can bear with me, you can measure your life against these attitudes and how you behave as a child of God. But the basic point I want to stress this morning, if I'm going to speak about the Beatitudes and you're going to now try and measure, like most Christians, I need to do this, I need to be humble, I need to be meek, all you are doing is taking psychology and you're applying it to your life. I want you to take theology, the knowledge of God, the study of God, the study of theos, the knowledge, the ology of theos, of God, and bring it into your life, and it comes through His Word. And when you start to do that, you start to become loving. You start to manifest love. The things that come out of you, you don't speak negative. It's not woe is me. It's because you are taking in love. The Word of God is love. And when you take it in, you don't only understand agape love, the deep love of God, but you start to outwardly manifest that agape through an agapeola type of love, which is a love for those around you. You love your neighbor. You love your friends. You love your family. And you will not say you love them and then do harm. There are many men who yesterday beat their wife up, and today they say, I'm sorry. And that wife is stupid and silly enough to take him back. And next week it's the same thing. Let me say, God hates divorce, I hate divorce. But if you are silent in this time of abuse, if you have somebody that's abusing you in this season, you live in a world where abuse is no longer tolerated. I want you to speak out. I want you to act out, not only for your sake, but for the sake of others. I want you to become selfless in your love. I want you to become angry. And the Bible says it's okay to become angry. It says become angry, but don't sin. How, Charles, how do you become angry and not sin? It's simple. Is your anger selfless or is your anger selfish? A selfish anger is about you. A selfless anger is about others. Jesus in the temple, when he drove out the money changers and he took a whip and he whipped them out, it was a selfless anger, not a selfish anger. He didn't whip them out and take the money for himself like the bribery and corruption that's happening in African countries right now. He whipped them out. He threw the money tables over. He wanted nothing. He wanted them out. And what was his words? My Father's house shall be a house of prayer. It's a place where you come and have divine exchange, where you engage with God. And these money changers were trading in the house of God. And actually, I don't have the time, but if I tell you the practice of what they were doing, it was so wicked. They were selling offerings for sacrifices to people who were poor. They were extracting from the poor. And Jesus, in his selfless anger, he whipped them out the temple. And if he was selfish, he would have taken the money for himself. It would have been about himself. But it was about those who were poor, and it was about his Father's house. I want you as a Christian today, if you crying out to God, to become selfless in your anger. If you are a victim of abuse, become selfless in your anger. It's all right to become angry. Become selfless in your anger and use the tools of protection that is there. You have the law. You have a church. And in our church, I always tell women, I will get the brothers together and we will come and visit your family if they are abusing you. So, and we've got some really big muscular guys in church. And some of them I'm even scared of. So if you can stand your ground at this time, stand in Christ and become selfless in the way you deal. Not selfish, where it's all about you. The world, it's all about you. It's about actualizing your potential. It's about achieving your best. And women, you'll hear this over this month. Women, become the woman of, you know, the best woman. Become the best you. Become the most amazing woman. You can be the next whoever. And it's all about you. It's selfish. Those magazines and TV shows teaches you to be selfish, to be about you. But the Word of God teaches us to be selfless, where we pour out our lives for others. And I know some of you who say, oh, I've done that and look at where it's got me. Let me tell you, if that's your attitude, you have never ever poured out your life. You are struggling today because you have never poured out your life. You have never accessed the wealth and the riches of God. And your life will be miserable because you have never accessed. You have never grown in this type of love. Let me tell you, this love casts out all fear. You don't fear bankruptcy. You don't fear bank managers. You don't fear loss. You know that your Father loves you. I know. I don't have many things to show in this life. I don't have many assets. I can't boast. Many people tell me, Charles, why don't you go back into business? You can make you're so good. You can make amazing money. You can make business. You can be so wealthy. Now you're pastoring a church. Let me tell you, I'm not pastoring a church because I chose to. I'm pastoring a church because God chose me to do it. And in my selflessness, let me tell you, I know that God is my provider. I know He is a giver. And I've seen it. People have sowed in my life from corners that I've least expected it. God has worked in the lives of people, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently search after Him. Keyword, diligently. It's not just search on a Sunday for Him, but search diligently every day. And this has been my hunger, to know God, to search after Him. And I have no lack or concern that I would lack in this world. Why? Because I'm from a kingdom where the King is loving. His love is agape. It's selfless. It's fullness. And this is the love I share with you today in closing. May the love of God on this woman's day and this woman's month. Women, I want to tell you, I want to herald the women who have given their lives for their children, for their family, for those around them. I applaud you. I applaud you. And on Wednesday, I told a story on how Pastor Milan watched his mother dish up for all his family. And he fed all the children. And then she closed the pot because there was nothing left for her. And as a young boy, that etched in his mind. It etched in his memory, the love of a mother. And she went to a bedroom without eating. And as a young boy, he struggled to eat knowing that his mother was not eating. But he realized the love of a mother will give of herself. And on this Woman's Day, I want to shout out to women, to mothers out there. You have given yourself to your children, to your daughters, your sons, who often have not realized the selflessness in your giving. But today, God sees you, and He's a rewarder. If you have this type of mother, you've laid awake at night when your children have gone wayward. They've drifted away from you. They've fallen into evil practices. As a mother, you had nowhere to turn. You can turn to God. And I want to tell you, the prayers of a mother, the prayers of a righteous, are powerful. The Bible says they avail much. They work things out. So I want to encourage you, mothers, and say thank you for giving your lives. I think of my own mother, who would give her last. She always had the way. I mean, even if we had a small pot of food, if we had visitors in the evening, she would stretch that food that even your visitors would get. Even if you got a side plate of food, everyone would eat. And she taught us one thing. You never argue over food. You never argue. You never begrudge anybody a plate of food or sharing it. And those things I carry into my life. I will never begrudge anybody or not share. Even if I have a little bit, I will make sure everyone is eating. And I honor mothers on this Mother's Day. I shout out to you. May the Lord bless you. May it be a Mother's Day. If your children don't respect you on this day, know that God knows and He hears your prayers. He is listening to your cries. May you become selfless in your love, in your giving. And as we continue this journey over the next few weeks, I will invite other women on to share their journey, their story of faith with us, and encourage you, just as Jessica has done. And it's very difficult to stand in front of the cameras. And so I will ask some women, please, you're not doing it for yourselves or to be famous. You're doing it to share Christ with others. And thank you for stretching beyond those boundaries of fear to speak to the cameras and to speak to others about the love of God. I want to pray for mothers on this day. and bless you with the grace, and that the Lord, whatever you are facing right now, maybe your children, yesterday was Saturday, they never came home, you don't know where they are, you don't know where they're sleeping or what they did yesterday or last night. I want to tell you, God's eyes wander to and fro across the earth. He knows all things. And I want to pray with that mother who's praying for her children right now, that they would come to Christ. You know, you can send them to different rehabs, different programs, different psychologists. The most permanent change I've seen in my own family has been them coming to Christ, not going to rehabs, but them surrendering their lives to Christ. I want to pray that you will pray this prayer today. Father, allow my children to experience your agape love, your selfless love, and may your love fold them. And Lord, may I focus on those things that are above and not the things that are below. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray with mothers today for their children. Their prayers, Father, are powerful before you, who is a God who hears our cry. And I pray for mothers that you would bless them. The cry of every mother's heart is for her family, Lord, and for family to be loving and protected. Hear that cry today in our nation, Lord. Father, I stand against the abuse and the violence that is visiting our country. I stand against the senseless killing of women and children in our own country, Lord. This pandemic that is spreading, Lord, it's worse than Corona. We see the death rate and the murder rate in our country. Lord, I ask now that you would raise a standard of righteousness, raise a standard of love in this country, Lord. I pray that you would hear the prayers of mothers today, that you would answer their prayer, and that our families would be changed. I bless mothers and families with the love that comes from you, the love of God that maketh rich and adds no sorrow. Bless them beyond measure, Lord, that your kingdom and your reign would come in their lives and in this earth.